To invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. We'll also be pulling in a few verses from Mark chapter 7 if you want to drop a bookmark there. Matthew chapter 15 and Mark chapter 7. Our main text will come from Matthew 15, beginning at verse 21. If you were at the revival services this fall, Brother Steve brought a message from this passage in Mark's account, and it's just in line with our study through the Gospels, and so we're going to cover it again tonight, and Brother Steve brought a great message, and we'll talk about some of the same things and hopefully some other things, but we need to understand tonight, as we learned in our message this morning, that faith is absolutely vital. In the Christian soldier's armament, the shield of faith is above all. It's above all. And the Bible has a lot to say about faith. We know that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we're going to learn about a woman who had what Jesus called great faith. And when you look at this account in Scripture, how Jesus went very far out of his way and just happened to find this lady there who came to him, who was able to help, we see that Jesus always has a purpose. And we see that his purposes are only accomplished when we believe in his word. So if you're able, let's stand together to honor God's word tonight. Matthew chapter 15, beginning at verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Please open our hearts to your word tonight to understand it and apply it. Convict our hearts, dear Lord, that we would have faith. And a great faith at that. Lord, help us to grow in your grace and knowledge through your word and your spirit tonight. And help us to go from this place encouraged and equipped to live for you in a greater way. Thank you for your love and your mercy. That you love the unlovable. And you save sinners like me. Lord, help us just to rejoice in what you do and live for you faithfully each day. Bless your church that we can grow and be faithful. And disciples will be multiplied in this place for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. The great faith we're going to see tonight came from a Syrophoenician woman, and that just has to do with where she was from. In Mark's account, the Bible says in Mark 7 and verse 24, From thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. And so Jesus, we've seen, has been all around the Sea of Galilee, and he's gone from one side to another, from Capernaum to Gennesaret and different places around. And now he journeys from the Sea of Galilee up to the northwest, to the edges of the Mediterranean Sea, to the areas, the borders, if you will, the coast of Tyre and Sidon, which were both coastal cities. And he went to the regions there. We find out the coast and the regions round about that area. And so he went quite a ways out of his way, and this was an interesting thing because he goes up there. We have this account, and as Brother Steve pointed out in the message during the revival meeting, he goes there, we have this account, and then he goes back, and we don't hear about much else that he did up there. It's almost as if that he went there for one specific purpose. I want you to notice this was a directed visit. Jesus never did anything by accident. Jesus always had a purpose. And if his purpose was to help one Greek Syrophoenician woman, one person who was not a Jew but was a Greek, one person who was a Gentile who was not of the household of Israel, then Jesus would go out of his way for one because he loves all. Now, Jesus' ministry was to the Jews first. And he even instructed his apostles at this time when he sent out the missionaries to go and preach the gospels. He told them to only go to the Jews. And that's the way God designed it, because God had given the oracles of God to the Jews, and they had every opportunity. They had the scriptures. They had the law of Moses. They had the prophets. They had everything they needed to believe and recognize the Messiah when he came. And so the gospel would go to them first, but when they would reject Jesus Christ, the gospel would go to the Greeks. But that didn't stop Jesus from going to those, even outside of the house of Israel, who had open hearts of faith. The Lord would go to them. He had a directed visit. He went very far out of his way to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. He went to the borders of Tyre and Sidon, to the region around. And the Bible says in Mark 7:24, he entered into a house and would have no man know it. Jesus didn't go there to reach the crowds. It almost seems that he went there to get away from the crowds. And this is not the first time Jesus told his disciples, we've been very busy. We've had all these people. We need to get away for a little while and rest. You haven't even had time to eat. And in the midst of trying to get away, the multitudes came, and he ended up ministering to them. And many times Jesus would go to get away from the crowds, but the crowds would follow. And we see the love of Christ, that no matter how tired he was or how busy he had been or the sacrifice that it took, Jesus loves. You know, I talk to people sometimes today that have no clue who Jesus is. They have an idea about him from what they've seen in movies or what they've heard from other people. But I want to tell you, when you start to look at Jesus Christ in the Word of God, you find a God who loves us more than we could ever comprehend. His love for us, his commitment to us. And so it was a directed visit. He went there, and he went into a certain house, and it says that he wouldn't have no man know it. He wanted to go there privately, but he could not be hid. And the Bible says in Mark 7:25, for or because a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. And we read in Matthew 15:22, the woman of Canaan, this Greek, this Syrophoenician woman, came out of the same coast, and when she came and fell at his feet, she cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. And I want you to get this, dear friends. When she falls at the feet of Jesus, she calls him Lord. She shows reverence and respect to the Lord Jesus Christ. She falls, first of all, at his feet. Then she addresses him as Lord. And not only that, she calls him the Son of David. Now, this phrase, Son of David, it goes back to the Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah. You see, I believe that this woman had a greater understanding of who Jesus was than the Pharisees, who should have known him best. This Greek, this Syrophoenician woman, she called him the Son of David. She called him by a messianic name, a prophecy relating to the fact Messiah would come. Because God said that the throne of David be established forever, that the Son of David, the lineage who would come in the lineage of David would be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And that's what she calls him when she falls at his feet. And we learn more about that as we studied in Hebrews several months ago, that the Son of David, this prophecy of Messiah who would come, he said, listen, you can go, you can find David's tomb. He's still in the grave. You can go and you know that he's there, but Jesus rose again. The Son of David came to save, and he came to conquer death and hell and the grave. And so this woman has an understanding, at least to some degree, of who Jesus is. But in Matthew 15, in verse 23, it says, but he answered her not a word. Now, when you study this, when you study this, the things that Jesus does and that he says, it seems like he's being harsh. It seems like he's being hateful. It seems like he's being rude. But I promise you, dear friend, Jesus is not harsh. He may be harsh with the Pharisees sometimes. Jesus is not rude. Jesus is not hateful. Jesus has a purpose in everything that he does. And so he ignores her. Desperate plea. And then the disciples beseech the Lord, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. So we see his directed visit, we see her desperate plea, and then we see a difficult response in verse 24, Matthew 15:24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And in Mark's account, Mark 7:27, Jesus says, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. Now this is, friends, this is difficult. This is hard. That Jesus would say to this woman when she comes and she cries and she says, Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And she's crying out, please help me, please help. My little girl has an unclean spirit. My little girl is possessed with a demon. My little girl, please help me, Lord, help me. And he says nothing for a time, but then she worships him and he says, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she says, Lord, help me. And he says, it's not meet to take the children's bread to cast it to dog. Let the children first be filled. And so we get this picture of the master in his house, and he sits at the table and gives food to the children and the dog. How many of you have a dog at home? How many of you have a dog in the house? Okay, lots of you. And how many of you feed the dog from your own table? A few of you do. Uh-huh, yeah. The stuff that you don't want, right? How many of you give your dogs the leftovers? Nobody gives their... You give your dog the scraps? We call those scraps at our house. Okay, all right. That's what it... Listen, you don't... You're a Greek. I'm going to give... my blessings. I'm going to give my word. I'm going to give my truth. I'm going to give my benefits, my blessings to my children first. I'm going to give it to Israel first, and you're just a Greek, and it's not right for me to give something to you until I've given it to the children first. This is the picture that he gives. He basically says, Israel, they're my children, and you're a Greek, so you're just a dog. And I want to know how many of us, if Jesus called us a dog, would have gotten up and walked out of the house at that point. How many of us, if anybody called us a dog, we'd be done? But you see, again, this woman had an understanding of who Jesus was. She understood something about what Jesus could do. There was a reason she was at his feet worshiping him. There was a reason she called him Lord. There was a reason she called him the Son of David. She knew, she believed that he had the power to save her daughter. She believed that he had the power to heal her daughter, to help her. And it didn't matter what he said, she wasn't going to leave. It didn't matter what the disciples said and how they tried to run her off. She was going to stay at the feet of Jesus and worship him because she knew he had power. Friend, I want to tell you today that sometimes the things that the Word of God says, it's hard to hear. Sometimes the things that God would say to us, it might hurt our feelings. It might be difficult to hear. But friend, don't run away from the Word of God. Stay right at the feet of Jesus. Because he's the only one who can help. It's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And look at Matthew 15 and verse 27. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. That's right, Lord. You don't prepare a meal and then just set the meal on the floor and let the dogs have at it. You don't do that. But even the dogs get the crumbs that fall off the table. Any of you guys that have a dog in the house, you know that's true, right? Any little scrap falls on the floor, the dog's right there to get it. 5-second rule need not apply. Somebody said if 5-second rule doesn't matter if you got a 2-second dog. Right? And that's basically what she says. Jesus says, I can't give you anything because I've got to give it to the children first. And she said, but even the dogs get the crumbs off the table. Her humility is amazing. Her humility is inspiring. Her humility ought to be something we strive to have. You see, we are Americans. And unfortunately, too many people in our nation today are Americans before they're Christians. You pledge allegiance to the flag. I do too, and that's good. But my allegiance is to Christ first. We're proud to be Americans. I could sing you the song if you want me to. At least I know I'm free. Right? And we are proud to be Americans. But our pride, dear friends, is not usually a good kind of pride. There can be a good kind of pride. I mean, like I'm proud of my children. I'm thankful for my children. I'm proud of the accomplishments that they have. That's not wrong. We use that term pride, but it's not the biblical kind of pride where we're lifted up and we are lifted up in our hearts and we think we've done things on our own. No, it's a grateful pride. But there is this wrong kind of pride where we think we're something. I'm going to tell you something, friends. We are nothing without God. Our nation is nothing without God. Our families are nothing without God. Our church is nothing without God. And we can have a wrong kind of pride. But this woman had great humility. Jesus essentially calls her a dog, and she says, "That's right, and I'll take whatever scraps I can get." She stays right there at his feet. John Bunyan said, "He that is down needs fear no fall. He that is low, no pride. He that is humble ever shall have God to be his guide." Friends, we need to learn to have humility. We need to learn to keep ourselves low. And if you're a Christian for very long at all, you'll figure this out. You can keep yourself humble or God will do it for you. About the time you think you stand, the Bible says that's when you'll fall. So we need to learn to depend on God fully. And if I am but a dog, I will gladly take the crumbs from the table of Jesus. She had not only a humility that we ought to aspire to, but she had what Jesus called great faith. The Bible speaks about little faith. It speaks about weak faith. It talks about having no faith. The Bible also speaks about strong faith, abiding faith, continuing faith, bold faith, rich faith, obedient faith, steadfast faith. The Bible tells us and warns us against having a dead faith. It tells us to have a precious faith. It talks about the common faith and a faith unfeigned, a faith that works. But this faith Jesus called great. In verse 28, Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Mark tells us that Jesus said, "For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter." And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. Jesus said, "I want you to have it exactly like you believe." And she believed that Jesus would heal her daughter. And that's exactly what happened, exactly the way she believed, exactly when she believed it. Because of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, because she had great faith. This is the same kind of faith that Jesus said the centurion had. You remember the centurion's servant was sick and Jesus was going to go to him and he sent servants out saying, "Don't come to my house, I'm not worthy. You come to my house, just say the word and it'll be done." And Jesus said that centurion had great faith like he hadn't seen in Israel. This is the word we get mega from. You guys know what mega is, right? It's really, really big. So basically, this is the Greek word for mega. So we have, Jesus says, you've got mega faith. That just sounds cool, doesn't it? That's the kind of faith she had. That's the kind of faith Jesus said she had because, why? Of what she said. Remember in Mark, Jesus said, "For this saying, because of what you said." Because you said, yeah, but the dogs just, even the dogs get the crumbs. See, she was willing to take any little bit of blessing that God would give. And I want you to please understand this. A little crumb, just a crumb of a blessing from Jesus, is greater than we can ever imagine. Just the tiniest little scrap of a blessing from Jesus is greater than we could ever dream or think or imagine. I'm just trying to tell you tonight, dear friends, that God has great blessings available to those who believe. You see, when I read accounts like this, it's hard sometimes. Jesus says, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And that's hard. But Jesus continually tested her faith. When she came in, he didn't even acknowledge her. And she stayed. And then he says, I'm not here for you. I'm here for the sheep of the house of Israel. And she stayed. And he said, it's not right for me to give you anything because you're just a dog. And yet she stayed. He continued to test her faith. And what happened was she stayed no matter what. And friends, I just want to challenge you tonight. Stay at the feet of Jesus no matter what. No matter what. No matter what. Stay at his feet. When you study things like this, it's hard sometimes, but you see how Jesus proved her faith. And when it was done, she had great faith. And just like she believed Jesus could, her daughter was healed. We have a Savior worth believing in tonight. I don't know what's going on in your life, but so many times it seems to be beyond us, doesn't it? We have financial trouble, and I don't know how we're going to pay the bills. I don't know how we're going to do it. I don't know how we're going to make it this month. And yet God is faithful if you'll be faithful to him, if you'll trust in him. He say, I got these doctor's appointments, and I don't know what we're going to do, and I don't know what's going to come out of it, and I don't know what the tests are going to say. And I'm just trying to tell you, it doesn't matter what you face. God can do it. Amen. We need to have that kind of faith. There was nothing this woman could do. Her daughter was possessed. Where's she going to go? What's she going to do? The only one that could help was Jesus. And when she fell at his feet, she worshiped him, she humbled herself before him, and she believed him. And God blessed in a greater way than she could have ever dreamed. I believe he blessed her because of her faith. What is it that you need to trust the Lord for tonight? Where is it that our faith is lacking? As we stand together, our musicians come. This woman fell at the feet of Jesus. She cried out to the Lord. Tonight, we have this time of invitation. You know what that's really about? It's giving you an opportunity and me an opportunity to respond the way that woman did. To get on our knees before God. To humble ourselves and to cry out to the Lord. So if there's anything in your life, any burden that you need to bring to the Lord, any trouble that's in your life, friend, I want you to know God loves you. Jesus stands ready to help you. But we need to demonstrate our faith. Because of what she did, because of what she said, it demonstrated the faith.